Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your hosts, Matty Wood,
Matthew Davis,
and the Roto Gut, Vlad Sedler.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Davis, and I'm joined with a special guest. It is Jeff Erickson, the senior editor at RotoWire. He's also a host of numerous podcasts, and he has a show on SiriusXM, Fantasy Radio. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for the invite. Really happy to do this. Pinch hitting for one of the best in the business in Vlad. So, we're in a league together, so this is good. I can learn from the master here. You're smoking us by, at last I saw 15 points in the Vegas main.
Yeah, I'm doing okay there, but certainly dead last in stolen bases as still with 50 total. So yeah. I was telling Vlad last week, the bright side of that is I know that I can't lose any more points there. So I guess that's the silver lining to being so terrible in one category. You had me on as well as a couple of other Vegas main event league mates before the season started. We all met up in Las Vegas. It was me, you, I want to say you had Rudy Gamble and Brock Miller on. So it was the four of us, and we were kind of just talking about how we felt about our draft and, you know, looking back at it. And I did mention to you guys at the time, I felt odd about the sixth round Blake Snell and then going Chris Bryant over Byron Buxton and Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. And now that we're in current time, I think, you know, looking back, I was certainly already knowing like, oh, I think I made some mistakes right after the draft. And that's always kind of a stinky feeling when you have that vibe after investing in a high stakes draft and the season hasn't even begun. But there's obviously plenty of time to correct some mistakes if those are happening. And you mentioned the team, the Vegas main event team that's currently in first place in our league. But I'm looking up at you in the overall standings in the Vegas main event, and you are inside the top 10. And that is you are teamed up with Tim Schuler in that. And that is rather impressive as well. So as we go into some baseball news and notes, we will kind of get into that and talk about some of your success and how fun it's been. Having a sweat this late in the season, I think it makes, the game that we initially started to play a lot more fun and intense and kind of what we hoped and imagined for. So right. Kudos to you guys. We will certainly get into that. Before we started recording, I know that a lot of listeners follow you on Twitter. So if you don't, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. And if you have been following along with Jeff, you saw that he had the opportunity to take his daughter on a California road trip all over to visit multiple campuses and whatnot like that. So that was very cool. And I know that it is not done yet and you haven't selected your college, but it made me think of me in college going to Chico State. I know that you guys didn't go that far north, right? You went with Santa Cruz, the furthest north?
Santa Clara, Santa Cruz Sunday. Those two, I mean, you can pair them together. I have a rising senior and she's taken the SAT. She's done all that. Although in California, that's almost irrelevant at this point in time. UC schools don't take them and a couple of the private schools in California don't take them either. But we wanted to see what colleges are like. You know, colleges were kind of an abstract concept. You hear by reputation, but actually being on campus, seeing things, can you see yourself here? Would you get lost in it? Do you fall in love with it? Do you find it stale? Like the surprising, a couple of them that she was just a little lukewarm on, and others like, whoa, I didn't think I'd like it this much. University of San Diego, she was blown away by, and not just the campus itself, which is immaculate. It's amazing. But also like a lot of cool little things like, you don't have to declare your major until deep into your sophomore year. In fact, can't until April of your freshman year. They want you to have a sampling of both of everything that they do there too, a requirement to have some, classes in every school a little bit. You don't have to apply to a certain school within the college. Like UC San Diego, I think has like seven different colleges within its overall university. Amazing school. We would love to get in there too. But, it's things like that. And I had to catch myself and think, okay, well, I'm not applying. Like, can I see myself there? Wait, no. That would be weird and creepy. Can she see herself there and how much did she love it? And it was really cool. A couple things that, we thought that, would be a love connection with Santa Barbara. And it was nice, but it wasn't like really big for her, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now I got to know. So I still consider myself a new girl dad. Brooklyn just turned 2 on the 14th of August. And, you know, you're obviously a bit more of an expert with 2 girls and one that's going to be going into college in the next year. How is it balancing right now with you? You said that she's preparing for schools and, you know, classes and everything in between. How do you balance, you know, not putting pressure and giving her that leeway, but also kind of making sure that she's still feeling loose and having fun as a kid?
No, it's always a challenge, right? And my wife and I battle that all the time and to varying degrees. I probably need to care a little more. She probably needs to care a little less, but that is my wife. Just in terms of like grades and classes and all that, I mean, yeah. And the thing is, you have to let them learn. They're going to have to make some mistakes along the way and learn how to adjust from those mistakes too. I don't have a, you know, I'm not writing a handbook on parenting. I do the best I can and stay involved in your kids' lives. It's coaching in sports or just, you know, finding out what they're doing things with them, whatever they like, immerse yourself in that. I didn't play soccer as a kid. I've coached for 14 years now. So it's funny how that works out. But you know, share what you love, love what they share.
So I found out earlier this year when we were drafting our fantasy baseball barf league. You're in Scarf, I believe. Is that correct?
I am.
The Southern California League. Yep. We're actually drafting. I'm going to have to stay up a bit past my bedtime tonight. We have the football barf league tonight.
Oh, really? So,
nice. And it's, dude, it's insane. I think we're having it up to now 16 teams or so. I don't know.
I'm in a 16 team leader with Jason Gray, former colleague of ours, who is now a scout with the Rays. And it's a lot of baseball scouts and players and a couple of fantasy folks, too. And it's a great league. And it is, you know, if you get stuck at one of the ends in that draft, it's punishing, especially because it's a slow draft, too. So sometimes you put the slow and slow with that. But, you know, it 16 teams is great, though. But it's nuts. It lets us dig into the corners there a little bit and figure out some of those super duper sleepers that, and then when they actually get a role, it's great. Same thing, you know, with baseball. You know, we love finding those guys that, hey, it's a platoon player now, a bench player now, but man, you can really play. And when they actually do get that chance, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to dig a little bit deeper, and it does make it fun because maybe it does thin out the herd, right? Maybe if you're a little bit more prepared, the deeper it goes, then you have a little bit of an advantage. But people are probably wondering if we're going to talk about baseball. So
yeah,
that's what we're here for. So let's do it. Let's get into it. And right as we do, it's all and nothing but womp, womp, womp news. So I just kind of want to go along some players. I was scrolling just Twitter and finding some news and notes for us to go over. And it doesn't sound like Eloy Jimenez, his elbow is going to be an IL stint or anything like that. The x-rays did come back negative. He's currently day-to-day. So continue to monitor his status. Hopefully he's back by Friday for the weekend series. But Jeff, I know that's just randomness getting hit by the pitch, but doesn't it always feel like there's just something with
Eloy? He's star-crossed. The whole team is. Something.
TLR is just rubbing off on everybody the wrong way. It's the bad karma spreading along the dugout.
This one we can't blame on the Jimenez's defensive stylings in left field or lack thereof. This one is all just Bautista drilling 102 miles an hour fastball, hardest hit by pitch of the season there. Yeah, I'd miss the next day too, I think. I hope he's all right. Again, you mentioned the main event team that's doing well. I have him there. So I've been, you know, kind of waiting for him and waiting for him and Bryce together at one point. Now just waiting for Bryce. It looks like it's getting closer there. So, of course, we'll lose some minutes when I get Bryce back. But, you just got to watch that. For next year, though, that's the question is, like, how actionable is this? Are you going to downgrade him just a little bit there? Because he actually was a tiny bit of a downgrade in the league that I got him this past year. What say you?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that I'm going to start being just a tiny bit more conscious to. And albeit it might be something small, but over time, as I'm doing my evaluations and adjustments and, you know, editing my rankings up until our high stakes drafts, two things. He doesn't steal bases and he has these just this randomness, right? You call them ailments or just IL stints or it's just. There's two things now that are kind of rubbing me wrong for him. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes in drafts. I know that he was kind of being before the injury in spring training that he was being drafted similarly around like the Brian Reynolds range. And we saw the DC that ran already, and Steve Weimer, I think, drafted Brian Reynolds at like pick 6-1 or something like that, or 7-1. So I don't think that Aloy will end up going necessarily in that same range. I think that he'll end up falling just a little bit. Do you think that he'll get closer to round 10, or do you think that the name himself will keep him kind of there in round 7-8?
So before we started, I put up the draft board from this this league because I knew we were going to talk about that league. Yeah, it went Reynolds and Jimenez back to back in this draft. Reynolds went 7-6. I got him, Eloy at 7-7. So that gives you an indicator there. Yes, you hit the range perfectly there.
Yeah, they're the fancy version of Bellinger and Yelich this year, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right, Belly Yelly. And who won that, by the way? Is it Bellinger or Yelich?
I would have to check. I would just go to the Razzball player rater. I can check while we're talking at some point.
We all lost, right? But I guess that's
yeah.
Really
you have. Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't you have Bellinger in our? Yeah, you drafted Bellinger in the 7th round of our Vegas main event.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that one there, but so it goes.
Well, your Jose Ramirez hit 2 home runs off of my Blake Snell tonight.
Oh, I know. I saw that. Nice homestand for the Padres, huh?
Yeah. So I saw your tweet actually, and I wanted to mention that as we segue into the Juan Soto news. Not so good when they're, they lose Tatis, they bring in Soto, and now Soto's got the back problems, and they go 2-4 on this homestand against the Nationals and Guardians. Is it panic time yet? I mean, Josh Hader, that doesn't seem to be working out after trying to, increase the depth in the bullpen or the talent. It doesn't seem like things are going San Diego's way this year.
Hader was like the one good thing today. He pitched in the 8th. Now, granted, it was a throwaway inning when they're already down 7-0. But he did pitch, and he pitched. He put a couple guys on, but he looked better. And in fact, one of the base runners he got, he should have got the strike call in 2-2. Got squeezed by the ump. But then again, when you've been wild for the last month, you're not going to get borderline calls. I hate to say it. It's human nature, though, and we want to have robot umpires now. I want robot umpires now, and they would have gotten that call right, but it was right on the bottom left corner, and the catcher did the obvious "I'm framing it" sort of thing, and sometimes that works against you too.
They are now only one game up on the Milwaukee Brewers, and I know that the Milwaukee Brewers haven't been looking great. Both teams, so the Brewers and Padres, are both actually 4-6 of their last 10. Ironically, Josh Hader was involved in that scenario, but it seems like that alone just kind of screwed up both clubhouses.
It did.
It's so weird. Unfortunate, that's occurring as San Diego tries to just load up on this superstar squad. I love to see that, by the way. I know that some people kind of besmirch or, trying to gain all the superstar talent or whatever, but it's great. It's great for the fans. It's great for the city. It's great for the sport. So, all these teams are rich. They're all billionaires. They can all afford to do it. So I don't want to hear about a small market or a large market, etc. So, Juan Soto, obviously we've got to monitor his news. Do you think that this is, it's a back, like, and then the other thing is back spasm. So is this now something that we need to, like we were talking about Aloy? I know that it could be very minor and he could be back, this weekend, but anything with the back. I mean, I remember when it started with Anthony Rizzo and then when it started with Christian Yelich, and Soto is much, much younger than these guys. So it's obviously not the same scenario. And I don't think that Soto is going to have that substantial decline like we saw from both of those guys when that occurred. But does this concern you whatsoever, or is this just a let's let him rest and then we're good to go?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I really, hard to say, but does remind me. I mean, we talk about with pitchers, right, that there's that matrix between improvement in performance with extent improved velocity and the risk of injury. I wonder if the same, if there's an analog for hitters that generate so much torque in their swing, and they generate so much power doing that, maybe it leaves them vulnerable to maybe more back injuries. I don't know, something to think about.
Maybe it's just that slide step he takes forward when he takes a ball, when he's spitting on the ball.
Maybe.
It's dragging one side of the disc and the back left side or something for him. So.
But yeah, 23 years old and he's got back problems. It's scary.
Yeah, it is. And I've dealt with them. I had physical therapy, not that I'm a professional athlete or anything, due to snowboarding in college. And now that I walk around 70 plus miles a week, and I'm quite active, but there's still instances where, inflammation and stuff like that, it once you get it, it's chronic, right? It's not something that's going to just go away and disappear. So we're going to keep talking about guys that are kind of ailing right now. We're not cherry coating anything here, Jeff. Ryan
No.
Presley, he's dealing with a stiff neck. So was it last night? I'm kind of getting my days blurred in here. They call in for Daris and then they bring in Abreu for the one out save. You're kind of seeing those guys in the high leverage late inning roles when Presley isn't available. If you have Presley, obviously he's already in your lineup for the week, and we're hoping that this doesn't linger into his second IL stint.
Right.
But if you're in, like Jeff, you mentioned earlier, you have a team, your other main event team that is, I think it's still seventh overall. Look at that. You guys have gained 29 points. I'm watching you.
I here's the problem is like I haven't had a deep run like this. I think one year I was third at the All-Star break, but then precipitously dropped. My problem is I'm checking those overall standings too much. It's kind of a, you got to let it go just a little bit. Let it breathe a little bit. And for the longest time we were hovering between 20 and 30, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. I got a chance to cash. And then this last week I made a run and like, okay, that may not be where you end up. Just pump the brakes just a little bit there. But no, I'm like, did that homer move me up? It's so easy to do.
You're talking about it, and I'm literally just staring at the overall page, and I'm seeing you right there. I love the team name too, by the way, JETS. The Jets to Electric Boogaloo. It's very good stuff there.
Yeah,
Did
Jeff Erickson, Tim Schuler. Yep.
That's the special right there. I love it. So now you guys are up to 5,814 points. And if you're in this competition or have ever played in it, around 6,000 is a fantastic sweet spot, Jeff. And
Yeah.
you're doing the Jack Nicholson shining, knocking on the door, my friend. So
Yeah, it's
very,
fun.
it is, it is. And Scott Jenstad, your co-host of the RotoWire baseball podcast,
Striker. That's right.
Striker, you're striking back on him though. You're gaining ground on him. You're
He needs
creeping
his
up
hitting
all
to
those
step
kind of
up. He's
good.
been waiting for that the last couple weeks. I tell you, there's nothing worse than a main event team that stops hitting after a while. That set aforementioned team that was doing so well at the All-Star break, I just had a collective slump for 2 months, and it was just the worst feeling in the world. So that's the thing I'm just so scared about.
That is true, and I've noticed that when you have these slumps in hitting, it drastically hurts more than, let's say, if you had a couple bad pitchers, not do so great, right? The ratios got a little shellacked. The ratios, we're so far into the game, you've accumulated so many innings that hopefully it's not going to really, decrease or hurt you that bad. But if you have a couple days of just two runs, one home run, three RBI, and a 210 batting average, you feel it. You feel it pretty quickly because there could be other teams with three or four home runs and a 350, 360 average, and kind of, it happens quick. So I've definitely noticed, especially even in our Vegas main event league, that I'm more conscious and kind of puckering up when I notice that the ABs are kind of drying up and I'm not getting production. It makes me a little, it makes me a little sad. Now, if you with this Houston situation, if you're somebody like yourself that you have a spot or two right now, you know to yourself, I've got to get a few more saves. This is very important to you. The SGP, the area of where you can gain ground in the roto points in that category for saves. Are you maybe in the back of your head, do you take notes like, oh, Presley has a stiff neck? Look who was pitching late. It's Neris. It's Abreu. Should I go into my free agency and click a little contingency with a dollar bid real quick?
Of course.
Okay.
Of
Yeah,
course.
because
And
and then revisit it, right? On Sunday when you kind of things are a little more fresh.
it's so important now because you mentioned you're doing a, the football equivalent of barf right now. And football is taking over brain space here. Back to school with kids. When you have kids, your kids get older. I had a college trip last week. It's incredibly vital to put in the time when you can because your time is short now. I mean, you don't have as much time as you usually did on Sunday. I was driving all day Sunday this past week. Fortunately, also have a good partner in your league. That helps so much. I'm telling you, I mean, without Tim in this league, I mean, I'd be sunk in terms of the fab. I mean, it's so huge that I, not only is he just manually putting, doing a lot of the work, but we bounce ideas off each other. And, you know, he finds a player that I'm have overlooked or vice versa. And, you know, maybe we narrow our bid or increase our bid accordingly. And, you know, that's happened a couple of times. Like I told us to bid, you know, I got us to bid more on Michael Harris. He got us to bid more on a couple other players that were huge for us last year. He was like the master at finding pitchers. So those things matter so much when you're bouncing this off of each other.
You know, I find that so just awesome because you know that I team up with Zach Betancourt in a couple main events as well. Yep. And we've won a main event. We've won an auction championship. We have differences. We disagree. We figure out how to, you know, differentiate those things. We started playing together, co-managing teams, not all of our teams, but, you know, a couple teams, kind of like you and Shu. And we started doing that in 2015. And I got to tell you, our best main event team, it's in second place and it's like 40th overall. We don't have Kyle Wright on that team. Zach, albeit he's a Braves fan, very sharp when it comes to analyzing and, you know, kind of predicting or projecting a pitcher. And he was telling me, you got to be in on Kyle Wright this week in Fab. Like, you got to, for whatever reason, we didn't get it in our other league together, but like he kind of needled me in our Vegas late league to kind of bump up that bit, you know? So it's helpful at times to have this partner in crime, so to speak.
Right.
You know, and if you're listening, you're thinking, well, how is that fair? You guys got two people and it's two versus one. Well, there's never been a team of two that has won the overall. So once it does happen, it's shout out to one of us that does, because it is harder than you might think. If you're just listening, thinking that there's an advantage, it's probably a disadvantage in the long term because of so much that goes on. You know,
absolutely.
It's a very interesting dynamic.
I think at the draft table, you have that dynamic of fighting over certain players and, you know, you want, I really like this guy, but this guy doesn't like him at all. And like, okay, we'll let him go in this one. I've got another one coming up or something like that. That happens a lot. And then you miss your guy. Flip side is he may save you from a bad pick sometimes too, he or she. And you know, that's definitely cool. I mean, you and Zach, do you guys like the same type of players mostly? Do you kind of draft the same way? Do you come up with same strategic ideas when you're in together with the league with them?
I think by the time we do our main events, because that's all we do together besides the one satellite tag team league that I put together, the solo, you know, with all everybody. We slowly start in December. Well, I start in December because Zach's a high stakes poker player. So he's kind of like more like Scott and Rob Silver, where he'll let all of us dump into the ADP and get our drafts going and figure things out. They're sitting back. They're still doing their process and getting everything ready, but they're just waiting. Right. And mm-hmm. So Zach kind of does that. And it's kind of fucking annoying, I gotta be honest with you. So I'll send him my draft boards and I'll, you know, and he'll start picking them apart, which is, it's great. It's critique. You need it.
Yeah.
It helps me every single year. But, you know, come December, I'm like, well, you haven't started drafting teams, you know? And I'm thinking like, oh, this guy's picking apart my, he actually gave me shit in one of my DCs for going Jose Abreu over Brian Reynolds. Who would have thought? He was probably right. So it helps, I think, for him to not be in, but take a step back and look what I'm doing. We start to talk about it from there, right? So he's not drafting that team with me, but I'm showing him what I'm doing early on. And then there will come a point, though, where we actually start to butt a little bit, where I get offensive about really liking a guy, or he kind of likes his guy, and we'll end up doing a side bet. And one of the agreements
That's
is
great.
We're not going to draft the guy. So we already know that because one of us isn't in on the market cost. And then the second part, we'll do a little $20 side bet. One of them this year is I liked Francisco Lindor more than Javier Baez. So I'm going to get
pretty good about
bucks.
That one.
Yeah. I'll get $20 from him. But then there's like, there's like a Jose Urquidy and a Joe Ryan one and a Kyle Hendricks and Tyler McGill one. Some of them are just terrible, right? The Hendricks
right.
McGill one. I don't think either of us should pay, you know, so that's another.
Listen, I did that all
process.
The time on the air too. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. It's great content.
Yeah. And then the last part is if we really can't find some common ground and it's not like a 1v1, we'll pretty much find a way to rule it out if one of us doesn't come to an agreement. I think it's helpful to do that though, because you know the Casey Chaw interview that he did with my colleague Vlad Sedler a couple years ago. Nelson Souza does this. I've always done it for football, and I'm definitely more conscious of doing it in baseball now, is eliminating the player pool. I don't care. Yeah, sure. By the time they could get to you and you'd be taking them, the markets, if they're likely gone, right? You can tell yourself, well, I won't take him in the third round. We'll take him in the eighth round. He's not going to be there, right?
Right.
Most likely than not. So I've gotten better doing that in the off season with Zach of eliminating the player pool.
That's useful. Absolutely. How do you guys feel like? Do you guys agree, like strategy-wise, broad strokes, like pocket aces, early closers, things like that, strategic concerns?
Yeah, so yeah, we're definitely good on the camp of paying up for one to two SPs and a high price closer. Other than that, we kind of like to barrel out hitters and then go back to we were looking at the draft board of our Vegas league, looking from rounds 12 through, let's say, 21. That's like the gold mine of drafts. And that's always been, I think, the spot. I mean, that's where Phil made his money last year, right? Getting the Kevin Gausman and the Robbie Ray, et cetera. I mean, this year, look at Hector Neris, Tristan McKenzie, Jameson Taillon, Tony Gonsolin, Jordan Montgomery. I'm only looking at there's other teams and players, but there's just so many of them that seem to come and pan out every single year. The problem I've had on unsuccessful teams with Zach and I is we thought we were too smart in the room, and we say we don't need to spend a first or second or third round pick on a starting pitcher. We can wait until the seventh to get our SP1. And that's where you find yourself in some real trouble, is you do need that stability and that horse, one or two of them, and then you can chill out a little bit. And then start to pick those spots like everybody else does. But I think it's more important to be honest with yourself and know that you probably should invest some serious draft capital early in at least one starting pitcher.
I'd agree with that, and for the most part, that's true. I mean, I there are leagues where I barreled up on pitching on hitting and not gotten a starting pitcher till the fifth or sixth round. Our league, I think I waited to the fifth to get Musgrove, and he's been fine. Musgrove Manoah was a really good start, but it's Musgrove hasn't won a game since June, and Manoah is actually slowing down a little bit too, sneakily, but not to the same degree as Musgrove. Now, part of that's the Padres malaise, but part of that also is Musgrove has personally not been as good. But you're right, you do need that ace. And it's always the tricky thing, finding that balance for sure.
All right. What about Xander Bogaerts? He's got a back too. More
Yeah, he
bad
sure
news,
does.
right? Do you think? We're not doctors, and we've already kind of talked about, back scenarios, et cetera. So I don't think we need to kind of repeat the same thing over and over again about backs. But do you think, is it a club option or a player option? I'm sorry, I should have had that available for Bogaerts. Something's coming up this year.
I think it's a. I think it. They. I think it's a. I'll tell you. I've got his page up right now.
It's
He's
player
got an opt
option.
out. He has got
He's
an opt
gone.
out clause,
He's
and
gone, right?
I think he's gone. I mean, he was ticked after the trade deadline when they trade away Vasquez. And then they didn't seem to have a plan. Is trade away Vasquez, your starting catcher, go get Tommy Pham for reasons, and then go get Hosmer for even more confusing reasons. It was a very odd sequence of trades for the Red Sox. And they've kind of played like that since then.
And now Bobby Dalbec is playing shortstop.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Probably
Yeah. Party.
for the first time since like Little League, right? Little League World Series was the best player on the team, biggest guy,
Right.
hit the hardest. He's the shortstop. Let's put Bobby Dalbec there. So the shortstop market, actually, I had a friend text me back in California, and he was asking me who's going to be the Dodgers shortstop in 2023, next season. I keep hearing Trey wants to go back to the East Coast. Xander could opt out. The thing I told my buddy about him going to the East Coast is, where is he going to go? So New York kind of has this first and foremost, and I know that Judge doesn't play the same position, but that's kind of, I know that's not the end all be all, but that's like their big main hitter focus, I feel like. Like
Right.
that's the whole city is kind of focusing in on that. And then when you have teams that already have shortstops locked up, like East Coast teams, the New York Mets have Francisco Lindor, the Atlanta Braves have Dansby Swanson. I don't see too many teams on the East Coast that are going to be able to pony up, so to speak, for Trey Turner. You've got to be in on, you know, you got to be able to afford him too. If Xander's leaving, the Red Sox aren't going to end up paying for Trey Turner after letting Mookie leave. I mean, what? So the wheels are kind of spinning there. It's going to be an interesting shortstop market.
It is. Dansby, I think, is available though too. I mean, he's signed a 1-year deal this year. He hasn't gotten his long term deal. Now, I double check on the service time on him, but I thought I heard that he's going to be out there on the market too. I got to double check that. I'll hop on Baseball Reference real quick and check that. But
you're correct. He is a free agent.
Yeah, so that's Atlanta is in play. And Atlanta, by having all these long-term deals, they have money to spend. I mean, that's one of the things that's worked so well for them is they're able to go out and, you know, they want to go get Dansby, re-sign Dansby, they can. If they want to go out and get Xander, if Dansby wants to go elsewhere, fine. I see a latest note on Dansby, though, from Heyman is that John Heyman, that they've opened extension talks with him. So we'll see. I mean, the Braves are loaded for bear for a long time.
Man, you got to feel good if you're a Braves fan. You can kind of go to the team store and look up on the wall and say, I want that one. And yay, it's not going to go stale anytime soon, which
except
is awesome.
For Freddie Freeman, unfortunately. But yeah, too soon.
Even for me, like I would love a Trey Turner jersey, but it's like I don't want to get one right before I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's just one of those things that you got to wait out as a fan. But all right, let's keep going here. So Byron Buxton, he lands on the IL with a hip strain. No timetable for return. Now, I don't know if you have any exposure to Byron Buxton, so I've got to ask you that first.
Well, you know I don't in Vegas, Maine, because I famously let Toby take him one pick after me and took Will Smith instead. I don't know if Will Smith was the right answer there, but I'm okay with my choice. Although Byron now has 6 stolen bases. For a while, he wasn't running at all. And then lately he started running a little bit more, and that's why this latest injury is really disappointing. But you know what? He only has 51 RBI on the season. You know, for those 28 homers, he's not getting the whole bang, the buck for the bang, I guess you could say.
there it is.
He's getting the bang, 28 homers. But, you know, it's I don't know if I'm going to draft him next year. I kind of wasn't even on my radar when you guys brought up that I let him have him for the low. I was like, well, I wasn't even thinking about him. Which is kind of interesting. And he went at 59. So maybe 28 homers still plays anywhere, but he's not running a ton. And this latest injury makes me think he might not run much next year. They managed him a lot even before this latest IL trip.
Yeah. Yeah. That fourth round, man, taking Chris Bryant, I had him so locked. That signing had to have been so soon to it of me like adjusting my projections and doing everything where it just felt so right that I kind of made a rookie live draft high stakes mistake where player X I'm taking in this round, no matter what, almost without even looking around. And when, you know, like we've highlighted, we talked about all of us, we let Toby get Byron Buxton. The thing that we were all glossed over, or at least I did, is not that you guys let go of somebody, but I took Chris Bryant over Pete Alonso. Where would I be at right now, Jeff, if I had Pete Alonso in this league? Not that it's stolen bases, but good Lord, I couldn't imagine the stats this team would have.
Just the home run difference alone. We're still waiting for Chris Bryant's first Coors Field homer of the year.
I mean, so I that fourth round is Chris Bryant has scarred me so many times in fantasy baseball. I left 1 year after his big, big season. I went back to Vegas and made, and this was another learning mistake. Every high stakes, I had 3 high stakes leagues that year, and it was his bad shoulder year. The first year he had the bad shoulder, and I left every single high stakes league with Chris Bryant that year. He's now left. It took a few years to kind of get back in on him, and then he's done it again. I did the math too, so he's played 42 games, and not that I'm not somebody that don't complain to the player or even to the beat writer or just gripe to yourself, keep it to yourself, when it comes to that. But if he was done playing, he did all right this year. He only played 42 games thus far. The average on that 7-year $182 million deal, that would have been like $619,000 and some change each game. So
yeah,
hopefully he's able to come back and give it, you know, give him a little bit of an ROI next year. I'm rooting for him. I hope.
Yeah. I'm looking at the board, by the way. And you know, I could have had Dylan Cease instead of Will Smith, and I probably still would have gotten Will Smith because it sounds like he wasn't on Toby's radar. Cease instead of Musgrove would have been an improvement. You know, as good as Musgrove has been, Cease would have been a whole lot better. So there's a lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas out there.
Yeah. So Tatis, your boy, you drafted him in the 11th round of our Vegas main event. You had to cut him. That's okay. Hey, 11th. We just talked about the fourth round, my fifth round, my sixth round pick. None of them I really got right. So an 11th round pick, I think that it's just, at the end of the day, we throw away so many picks that we don't realize we might be overthinking it sometimes, right? Over galaxy bringing ourselves into draft capital at times. It's important to take note of it and be conscious of it. But I think that we do that. So I know that you and Scott have been talking about Tatis and what we're thinking about next year. And the last time you guys spoke on your guys' podcast on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball podcast, the news had not come out about Tatis getting the shoulder surgery. This is positive news. He'll still have the time to heal. I didn't know if he was going to do it just because it seems like everything upstairs might be just doesn't seem to be clicking all the time. And does this at all in any way make you more optimistic? I know that we were all kind of a little bit shaded towards him as at least for now, but you know, there's going to come a time where we get a beat report about the successful shoulder surgery procedure, which every shoulder surgery procedure should be successful, hopefully. Right. And then he's going to heal, and then we're going to get the rehab, and then we're going to get the videos, and then we're going to get the quotes, and he'll slowly rise regardless. That's just the organic, you know, nature of our market. But for you, I got to ask you, are you going to be more optimistic with the shoulder surgery?
Neutral. And the thing is, where I'm really going to be pessimistic is just stashing. The whole concept of stashing. I mean, it's a lesson we learned time and again. And I wasn't going to, you know, all along in like draft season, I hadn't taken Tatis once because he was going third, fourth round, maybe fifth or sixth. And I was like, yeah, I'm not touching that. I'm not going to take him. But it got to the 11th. We got to the break. I'm like pointing to Shu like, hey, he's still there. He's still there. Should we do the damn thing? I talked to Scott. He's like, yeah, I would do it. And now I, you know, it's just like, but you know what, it's funny though. You talked about the 11th round. So check out who went after, Scott Barlow immediately after. Good pick. Jeff Cox did a good job with that one there, but Patrick Sandoval, disappointment for Posma. Matt Barnes, we're still waiting for him to get some saves. Clevinger. Okay, fine. But nothing special. Mitch Garver, he's done for the season. He wasn't that great even before he got hurt. David Bednar. Okay. Good pick there. Hunter Renfrow. Yeah, pretty good pick. Alex Verdugo by you, not loving it. Jared Kelnick. Ooh, yeah, that one's really paid off. Anthony Rizzo. Okay, he'll got a good pick there. We'll give him credit for that. Marcus Stroman, hurt a little bit. Fine. Severino, hurt now. There's a lot of wasteland there in the 11th round. This is the 11th round of 30. I mean, I could bellyache all I want about Tatis, but I mean, there's a lot of, I think, to use a euphemism for Wayne's World there. There's a lot of people's girlfriends in there. I mean, there's a lot of bad picks in there.
Yeah. Well done, my man. Yeah, there are. There's probably this wouldn't be a good podcast if we just paused and found a round later than that. But I'm sure that there was a round later where our league as a whole kind of got it right a little bit better than the 11th round. So
sure.
It's fascinating. As a market, we all screw things up. I mean, it happens time and time again. So just keep trusting your process, I suppose, right? Somebody's got to get it right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the real takeaway here too is even very good teams, great teams, have mistakes. Main event champions have some glaring mistakes. I remember the year that Liss was sitting next to the guy that was in the main event, that was ultimately the main event champion, Glenn Schroeder. Glenn had some whoppers. Abdul, the year he won it all.
Madani.
He butchered the closers. Terrible job with the closers at the draft, you know. And I look and, you know, there was the year that, you know, Diaz went nuts with the Mariners. And I did a thing, like I looked at the top 20 overall. One team had him. You're like, so there's lots of ways to peel that and that the layers of the onion there and find ways to win. I think that kind of informed a little bit of my draft. And the one that's doing better is that I didn't do well on closers. I kept on missing my targets. top closer I got was Scott Barlow in the ninth round. That's the only guy I took in the top 20 rounds that's a relief pitcher. But the consequence was Tim and I just steered into it and said, okay, you know what? We're just going to take extra starting pitchers. We're going to do well in wins. Hopefully we won't have to stream as much of these crappy two-start starters. And we'll get the guys that are actually good and get two starts out of them. So Gonsolin, Wainwright, those are guys that were big, big ads for us in this in our league there.
I want to get into that team and that league actually. But I want to start it off with your first round pick, who is currently on the IL. He's the last player for our news. It is Bryce Harper. I'm sure that you have seen or at least read about the videos. Of him and going deep twice. I'm sure Scott's texted you like, getting y'all pumped up and whatnot.
Right.
Left center, left field. That means that's Bryce. That's. That's when you know the guy's feeling good, right? Like, it wasn't some cheap, like, oh, he pulled the ball, he popped it, in this small park up. He's hitting the ball. So the good thing about that is he thickens out the Phillies lineup. He comes back. The other good thing about that is some guys have picked up the slack. You got Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, JT Realmuto, and even Nick Castellanos has kind of been picking it up just quite a little bit now. So you've got all these other guys that are starting to click, and you're bringing back Bryce Harper sooner rather than later. You've got him on your Vegas main event league going into today. You guys were in first place with 124 points. Sorry. I want to kind of update that real quick since we're going with it. You've gained a point. So now you're up to 125. In second place is 116.5. So that's kind of, I've got a lot of questions for you actually, when you're kind of this far into it. So
sure. How
is the balancing act right now? Because for being first place in a Vegas league, I don't think you ever feel really secure, right? Like, do you feel
you
like
you shouldn't?
I won. 2 weeks
ago, I was not in first place in this league. I don't have to look that far back. And in fact, I thought Kelly was going to pull away. Kelly Uyansey, another long-term NFBC player, really good player. And he was crushing us on the offensive side. I had some pretty darn good pitching, but the offense has picked up, which is weird without Bryce. It's kind of like the Phillies in a way. It's giving Bryce a reason to come back, which I love. You get like Sean Murphy went on a tear. Matt Olson. Anytime the Braves play, I'm just like, I'm in my happy place there. I have Olson and Dansby and Michael Harris, and just keep on more Braves games, please.
It's
185.
You've got my boy. You got two of my boys, Julio Urias. You've got Tony Gonsolin. Like, how can you not root for this team? I love it. I started to look as if I was teaming up with you and Shu, and I went to the categories and the points and the stats. I'm like, where can we get this team from seventh place overall higher? And it saves. I think going into today, you guys had 39. I'm sorry if I misquoted
that. That's right.
I think that's what you got going into today. Currently, in your starting roster, you have Ian Kennedy and Scott Barlow, and Barlow's already accrued one, which is awesome. And then on your bench, you have Evan Phillips and Clay Holmes. I think you might start feeling a little bit better about this, Clay Holmes.
News
is starting to get a little bit better, right? You're probably feeling good about holding.
Yeah, early last week, he goes on the IL like, okay, we have our drop for this week. Then Aroldis comes in and does his thing, and I'm like, not so fast. Then on Sunday, we hear Efros has got a sore shoulder. Okay, we're definitely holding on to him now. Because they're going full on committee right now. It's whoever's the hot hand for the day. Last night, the Mets are, they're playing the Mets. Clark Schmidt comes in like get the last out of the six, and they just leave him in until he's like his arms almost falling off, Dave Dravecki style. I mean, it's too soon.
Trevino the night before. Trevino the night. They did it with Trevino.
Yeah. And who, by the way, has been awesome. I think if anybody is it's Trevino. But he can't pitch for a couple of days because of they're off on a Wednesday night, which is so weird, by the way, too. They have a Monday, Tuesday off Wednesday thing. I think Trevino might be the guy, but I feel better about Holmes for sure. The fact that they won't, it was a big lesson in how they just absolutely didn't trust Chapman. When they finally went to a lefty late, it was Wandy Peralta for that last out. And they were holding on to their seat for that one there too.
I think so. It's not that we know Clay Holmes, he's going to come back. He's going to get thrusted in the closer role. He's going to be like he was at the beginning of the season. That is still very well in the range of outcomes. But some of the fantasy managers like yourself felt the floor, so to speak, like the bad part of it. Yeah. And there were 25% of fantasy managers in the main event that cut him. So he's available in 25% of main event leagues. And I wanted to use this as a, as kind of like a patience, be patient a little bit, because I almost cut Tanner Scott in our league actually 2 weeks ago when he had like one, he had a rough patch. It was really bad, like three earned runs or something. He blew a save to the Phillies and it just felt like he hadn't been doing really good at all. And then I went back just with the patience mantra of like, okay, I've done this before. And then the guy ends up getting the save again. He goes in fab and I screwed up. I was, when these guys have had the saves before and we get the bad outings for them and they blow it and we don't think they're going to be there anymore, it's really easy to cut because it just feels good to let go of them and break up the bad relationship. And it sometimes it can sting more often than not. And I look back and Tanner Scott had only blown one save since July 15th. It right. was like, wait, what? And so I hold on to him and he's already got two saves this week. And so like, I think sometimes we need to prioritize when we want to cut that, let's call it a fringe. Maybe he's on the fence of being cut as a, he was the closer. He might be losing the job. Let's find that, the streamer SP that we're going to cut and cut them instead that week and hold on one more week. I think it's, and it only takes 1 week to really let it unravel. You know, most of the time, let them get the day off, let them have their rest, let's see the next save opportunity. We always make these rash decisions. Unfortunately, if it happens on a Saturday, Sunday, we don't see another save decision. Well, we don't know what's happening next. So we just kind of hypothesize and we're embrained with, he just sucked again. He sucked again. And, you know, sometimes we're clicked to drop that guy instead of the Daniel Lynch or whatever. So you kind of almost bypass that person. It's like, I should probably hoard this guy. He was doing something for me. And I added him when he wasn't the guy for a reason. He could still be that guy.
And there's nothing more frustrating than chasing saves. I mean, it's the one position is so freaking volatile. Sir Anthony Dominguez got cut by Kelly, actually. And then we turned around and picked him up. We're like, targeted pickup. Monday, he gets the save against the Reds. Wednesday, he's a little shaky. Actually came in a tie game in the ninth and got the loss. Friday, Saturday, there's a save chance. No. He's got triceps issues. Goes on the IL. So we went from like elation to depression so fast on that. And, you know, we had to cut him because, you know, again, there's 6 weeks left in the season. You know, that's the problem too. You couldn't afford 2 weeks without, but he's a very good pitcher, but it just shows how unstable the ground we are standing on.
And the 180 that the market can take. So 25% cuts him in the main event. He throws approximately 15 pitches during bullpen session. He's going to get more mound work. Then he's going to get the rehab. What if the rehab goes well? He throws two rehab outings or three rehab outings, has more than one K per nine. The control and command's back. He's getting swings and miss.
Right there. Yeah.
And so then what's going to happen in Fab? Albeit there's only 6 weeks remaining. People can't just go crazy, but you're still going to see just from a week ago, these people were eager to cut him. They got to jump right back in. I mean, we're desperate for it. And there's so much points to be gained there, especially in the overall, if you're contending in that. So I'm happy that you held on to him because I think it was the right decision in the end.
Well, and the thing is, we have a targeted need in Fab. I mean, we have 86 wins. We're blessed. We've got lots of wins. So, and we've got a buffer in our league so we can focus on the saves. And you know, I don't have a whole lot of Fab left. We only have $24 left in Fab. You know, some targeted bats worked out pretty well. Unfortunately, Vinny P just got hurt, and that one's going to hurt. I have him in both mains. That was a good Fab win, and so was Michael Harris. But you know, we're going to be like doing $2 and $3 Fab speculative plays the rest of the way, and maybe more if there's someone that's clear. But I mean, there's a reason why these guys were available a week ago too. You know, with the odd impatient cut here and there, which was a little bit of the case in Dominguez, who's just flat out a good pitcher. That's why it's so frustrating that went south. But that's why you don't celebrate your Fab wins too much either, because it just turns on you so fast.
That's right. It does. It's crazy how it seems like. I think Toby was saying Fab. Like last week, it felt like. Whichever players you add or the ones you want to add, it feels like you got to get them. If you don't get them, you're kind of just like, oh, I'm a step back now. I'm not feeling my momentum this week. Like it's been like that for like the last, I feel like 6 or 8 weeks. Like last week I overspent in our league on Manuel Margot. I felt like I had to have him because we all screwed up and didn't get him the week before. And then the week before that, I thought I had to have Franmil Reyes. And it just seems like there's always somebody you have to have. It's,
oh yeah. Had to have Wander Franco. We really learned our lesson about stashing. Oops. Oh, well.
Oh, Wander. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there he's hitting again. It's fine. It's going
to be fine. Blame it on Tatis. It's Tatis's roster spot that's just
it's a cursed spot. It's just a sacrificial things. Spot. If I can climb to third place in that league, it'll be a good result. But
all right, so this will be the last bullpen that we talk about. Well, we only talked about the Yankees bullpen, but I think this will be the best tidbit potentially, and maybe. And I think hopefully your league mates are not going to be listening to this, but I think we should be honest and open a little bit.
Sure.
And so we'll start with the other day. Well, you and Scott were on the podcast, on your guys' podcast, talking about the Dodgers situation and Craig Kimbrel, and Vlad and I were just talking about that a few days before you guys. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other people, you know, sorry, I haven't mentioned your podcast, that are talking about how shitty Craig Kimbrel's been. I'm sure the whole industry has been doing it.
Right.
And you know, people are throwing the specs at Evan Phillips, and rightly so. We've seen high leverage spots with him. He's got fantastic stuff. The ratios are awesome and excellent. Craig Kimbrel keeps sucking. You know, Vlad and I kind of threw out the names Blake Treinen. He'll be coming back from rehab, Ruzal Gratterall, et cetera. Started talking to a couple other people. And then people always want to ask me because, you know, quote, some sort of a Dodger guy or whatever. And so I sent a little screenshot to you guys of, you know, not the player share screen, but where you type in the player search and you put in the name and it shows you what teams you've got them on, et cetera. And
yeah,
I sent that to you and Scott in a DM, and it was Ruzdar Gratterall for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He got his rehab assignment out of the way. Everything went successful. He came back, got used in a very high leverage situation that I think people actually are not noticing or talking about because the game went a little different shortly after that. But you could tell that he was already kind of, not that it was a save opportunity, but it was like almost there. You could feel like Dave's got his guy in case things start to get murky, at least right now. And then if you rewind, Ruzdar did rack up a couple saves when Kimbrel was still doing his roller coaster act. And nobody really seemed to want to add Ruzdar Gratterall. I don't know if it's because he's, you know, there's not talk about him being the guy. 15% of main event teams currently roster Ruzdar Gratterall. Don't worry, Jeff. Ruzdar Gratterall might not be the closer. I sent you a DM today of a quote from Fabian Ardaya, which is one of the Los Angeles Dodgers beat reporters. He spoke with Dave Roberts earlier today on who's going to close out games in October. The unfortunate part for us is we don't care what happens in October because we're not going to, well, they're talking about playoffs. I know that they're talking, we do have five games technically in October this regular season, but they were talking about the playoffs, and Dave goes on to say that they're just a better team with Craig Kimbrel as the closer, but
he's got to say that though.
Yes, but it's got to be about, he also though kind of goes a little bit different than he normally, like I didn't really hear these things from the quotes back in the day when Kenley was kind of having these moments. There wasn't the part about the performance and having, you know, being able to have some sort of adjustment if it needs to happen at a certain point. I felt like he was kind of saying, like, I would make a switch. It just felt like that. And I didn't get that feel over the years seeing him talk about Kenley situations. If after seeing you tweeted, you kind of, I can see now that you've got Evan Phillips as a stash and kind of a, you know, a hope spot there. Well, tell us what Evan Phillips did in his last
pitch in the sixth inning. Yeah.
In the sixth inning.
7-1 game. Yeah.
And this is after Ruzdar comes back, right?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, you were asking me earlier, do you like go ahead into your fab queue and click a guy? Ruzdar is there along with Hector, along with Lou Trevino, and along with Brandon Hughes. So, they're all there hovering like an angel. So I probably shouldn't have said that because now my competitors will bet on them a little bit more. If they're listening, they're not listening. Posma doesn't listen to us. It's fine. We're good.
No. And Posma's probably already has 70 saves, knowing him. He's pretty conscious, getting them very early and often. I know for sure he's leading our main event in saves, and now I'm pulling him up. Oh, he's kind of right there. Okay,
he's got 40 saves in our league, and Kelly's got 43. So, me and my big mouth, huh? But that's okay. That's on me. Now,
you're going to get them because I already sprinkled the good Dodgers juju dust all over it for you. Bruised Art belongs with you.
We kind of need them not to have any save chances the rest of the week, though. That would be kind.
They play the Marlins, so I think you're okay.
Yeah, they could have a close one at some point against Sandy. That's right. When we get the rematch against Sandy. I do a thing on VSiN, by the way, every Monday with Mike Palm and Amal Shah. Really good guys, sharp guys. We've been talking about NL Cy Young futures, and it's interesting. We've had this pairing where Burns has faced the Dodgers twice, and Sandy's going to face them twice. You know, Sandy's first outing on Sunday was pretty hideous. We'll see what happens in the rematch in Florida, but Burns got knocked around yesterday, so. You know, it hasn't been, you know, Burns had a chance maybe to catch up and kind of spit the bit.
Yeah. Corbin Burns was the second starting pitcher of the week to have a terrible outing. There's currently been three of week 21. It has been Michael Kopech, Corbin Burns, and Blake Snell. And then next year, I've kind of gone down a rabbit hole. We're going to get out of here, Jeff, right after this. But I want to tell you, so with the terrible outing, now I've got the graphic design. The guy's got the whole Christian,
I saw that.
You know, the whole Patrick Bateman look from American Psycho. And what I'm going to end up doing is having this Google sheet that's going to have the metrics. So it'll have your normal roto stats and everything in between. It'll have other metrics. So xFIP, barrel rate, the average exit velocity, his strikeout rate, K minus walk rate for specifically that terrible outing. And then I'm going to grab that sheet and all that data. And I'm going to have, content for that week. So let's say it won't happen this year. There's just not enough time. I'm still working with it, but it's all gone from just this random dumb tweet that I wanted one day of somebody that had a really bad outing and I tweeted it and people liked it, but I'm going to eventually having a weekly article at FTN. So at the end of week one of, you know, MLB next year, there'll have Michael Kopech, what happened, what went wrong, the Google sheet of all the data, his next start, should you start, should you sit, should you hold, whatever the starting, it might not be Michael Kopech, it could be a fringe starter, a streamer, et cetera. It'll have the RotoWire online championship ownership percentage, the start percentage, it'll have that for the main event, the next start, what to do, you know, what happened. It's going to have all sorts of stuff. So I want to make it actual useful, and entertaining at the same time. And I'm actually pretty excited about it because I love dissecting starting pitchers. And I don't think I get enough opportunity to kind of present my thoughts when looking at them. And if you pull up all of my main event teams, you know, at least one thing I got right, it's for sure I get my starting pitching right. So
nice.
I would definitely, I'm looking forward to doing that.
I'm what looking about forward you? What to seeing the Gomber graphic.
Yeah, that's what it should be. It should have just been Gombered is what the terrible outing should have been called, was Gombered.
Yeah. You can what go about back you? A couple weeks and see my Miles Michaelis and Coors Field one there. That was a honey.
Did you start him there?
Because it was two starts that week. And he did at least bounce back and did win the second start at home. He's been so money at home that it won't be that bad. No, it was that bad. So it goes. But that's the nature of it. I'm looking forward to seeing this. It should be a great feature. So looking forward to seeing it.
Absolutely. RotoWire. I know everybody knows you, loves you. You're the pun king, the king of puns.
We got to be known for something, right?
Every once in a while, Vlad will drop one, and it's hard for me not to reference you. Sometimes he'll do a good one. I'm like, oh, you just dunked all over Jeff. You know, sometimes you need to work. Jeff needs to kind of help you out there, Vlad.
So, yeah, well, Jensen rolls his eyes so hard he's hurt his orbital bone, so it's okay.
That's right. And congratulations. Cheers to our friend Vlad Sedler. I know he did have a primetime draft tonight. I don't know how he pulled that off. I think his lovely wife was a little more lenient with him on their anniversary. So they are going out to dinner and celebrating their anniversary. So cheers to them on another year of marriage and happiness and love. Hoping that they're having a nice, peaceful night alone. It's nice to give Vlad a time off because that dude works his ass off.
He does.
So anything else, Jeff, please.
Ryan Roof came out with a new closer encounters article. Really good because he talks about the 7-round DC that a bunch of guys did in the industry, including our friend Rob DiPietro from Deadpool Hitter. So really good stuff there. And he talks a lot about closers for 2023. So check that out. We got a free trial on the website, rotowire.com/free. No credit cards required. Just get a chance to check it out. Kick the tires. Hopefully you want to subscribe.
That's, you know, and that's the best, you know, try us out. You don't like it. No hard feelings, you know,
exactly.
Carry on. So Awesome. I thank you so much. I hope that you and I are able to record again sometime in the off season. Hopefully we are not in the same leagues come next year.
Exactly.
Best of luck the rest of this season, Jeff. I really am rooting for you and Shu, man. You guys are doing some great stuff. And your colleague, Scott Jensen, as well. It will get interesting if you guys start rubbing elbows, though.
Exactly. That would be awesome. It would be the best. Hey, I had so much fun. I didn't take advantage of the ability to curse on your podcast, but maybe next time.
You certainly should have. I felt so terrible the first time.
Oh, it's okay. It was hilarious. It was great.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, thank you so much, Jeff, and I'll see you soon.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with Matthew Davis and Vlad Sedler. Make sure to follow your host on Twitter @_MattyWood_ and @RotoGut. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.